Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 810. This is your host, Danny. First of all, this is the award-winning podcast. You like that, Peter? Also, joining me this week is Mr. Pete, man.
What's up?
He wasn't ready for that. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Pete wasn't ready for that. The award-winning podcast. Pete Toledo. No, but it's hilarious because... Pete for the longest, like, man, so now it's official that now we can say it now? Like, hell yeah. See, like, every time I present the documentary, I always say the award-winning documentary. So now I can say the award-winning podcast.
Yeah, so now all of us, it's not just Danny with his podcast Hall of Fame awards and from the documentary. Now it's all of us. We are all officially.
Yeah.
Award-winning podcasters.
Yeah. First of all, Paris is not going to be joining us on this episode. He's going to be joining us, I think, later on this week. Not 100% sure, but we'll keep you posted. He's out of town, man. International flight. He's in Stockholm, man. Sweden. I was there a couple years ago. That was a lot of fun going over there. Lots of fun. You never been there, right, Pete? You never been to Sweden?
No, unfortunately, I have not been blessed with the opportunity to visit. But if somebody out here wants to send me, hey, I will accept.
Yeah, right? Yeah. What would be like your first thing you would like to do once you get there? I'm more of like the food, you know, IKEA. Really? That's IKEA everywhere, man. Come on, son. Really? You know this IKEA in Dominican Republic? I was there. I'm like, IKEA here? Really? Oh, snap. There's like a lot of American and also international companies over there. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Honestly, I don't know what I would do in Sweden. I really don't know. Like, I don't think I've ever been there, so I don't know.
I went out right away. I just wanted to check out like the local area and then food. Right away. That was my thing.
I mean, the big thing is the Swedish meatballs and stuff, right? So obviously I'd get like a fat plate of meatballs just to say I had true Swedish meatballs, not the stuff from the IKEA freezer. But I don't know. I've never been out there. I would just want to soak in the local cuisine. I think for me, you know, that's one thing I always love to do is when I travel is I don't want to go to like a restaurant or a place I can go to here at home, right? So I want to go to I try and check out local bars, local, you know, dining establishments and just get the local, you know, just get the vibe of the local area.
Yeah, dope. All right, first of all, before we start the conversation, but first of all, Mandy's going to be joining us on this episode. We're going to review Diablo 3 for Nintendo Switch, so yeah, stay tuned for that. But for those that are listening here in the States, I don't want to get political or anything like that, but make sure to go out and vote November 6th. Go out and vote. Super important. I voted early. Pete, right? You already voted early?
Oh, yeah.
I think Paris
first
too.
Day.
Yeah. So, yeah, make sure to go out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just go out there and vote. All right? Super important. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and also, you know, share the content. Doesn't matter from where, if you're listening to us through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, even Radio Public, one of my favorite apps right now. I've been using Radio Public a lot, Pete, not only listening to our show, but also other shows out there, man. So it's really cool. So for those that don't know, every time you're listening through Radio Public, we also get some revenue from it, so that's pretty cool. If you want to try it out for the first time, check it out. If not, it's fine. Doesn't matter where you're listening to, where you're listening from the podcast, it's gonna help us either way, man. At least the message is going everywhere, right? So
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Let's see, we have a couple topics here, man. But I think the first one I want to start off is Fallout 76 beta. I haven't tried out the first day when it launched because I was busy doing some things, you know, with the family and everything. But I got the chance to play it finally the other day. But Pete, how was your first experience trying this game out for the first time? Because I know you tried it for the PC.
Yeah, I've been playing it on PC since that first day. Since Friday. I didn't get the chance to play it that first day. Simply had too many things mm-hmm. going on between work and life and stuff, so I didn't have a chance to play. I did watch my friend play on his stream for 3 hours, so I kind of got an understanding of some gameplay. I watched a couple of other streamers on Twitch as well. And then Friday, I spent my first real good chunk of time in Fallout 76. Mm-hmm. Pretty fun. Initial impressions, I'd say, for me personally, again, this is Pete's impression. This may not apply to you, so take this with a grain of salt. Your mileage may vary on this one. For me, if I'm going into if I had the opportunity, or you know, and obviously I do, right, to buy it based on what I've played in the beta, unless I know I'm going to be playing this with friends, I won't jump into Fallout 76. Just for me personally, I don't think that there's enough story or action or adventure for me to go in from a solo perspective. Now, having played Fallout 76 on two separate instances with two different groups of friends, if I know that all of them are buying it and playing it regularly, I will buy Fallout 76. So in a nutshell, if you're jumping into this, if you're interested, or you know, you're on the periphery of whether you want to buy, like you're sitting there on the fence and you could teeter either way, ask your friends if they're going to play this regularly, right? Not something that they may play for a week or two and then jump to the next new hot game. But if they plan on investing time and whatever in Fallout 76, then yes, I would say jump in. I had a blast playing yesterday for 3.5 hours, I want to say. Maybe I went the whole, except for like the first maybe half an hour, I spent the entire time that the beta was live yesterday on Fallout 76, and I intend to do it again today. I think they're going on from 2 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern, so a full 7 hour span. I may even stream it, let's put it that way. So if you're watching it on Twitch, if you're watching us live on Twitch today, unfortunately, those that listen to it on the podcast, they won't have a chance to watch it. But you could check it on the VODs, on the VOD section and on the Twitch channel. But I'm going to throw a lot more time into it. I think I'm level 10 now, so I've got a couple of the weapons that I've picked up and stuff over time that I can actually use now. But there's some crazy intense moments, especially early on. I jumped in yesterday with a couple of the members of our community, and like I jumped into their game. We joined up as a team, and next thing I know, I'm being chased by like 9 or 10 different creatures in the game, and I was screaming like, "Leave me alone!" Ah, like they just wouldn't stop attacking, and then I got it. It was just insane, like tomfoolery. It was, and that's where the fun of a game like that, you know, generates from, because it's just, you're just in the wasteland, you know, you're running, you know, you're just trying to find gear and loot and craft, and you have to manage, you know, what you're carrying, because you can't get over encumbered, because then if you've got too much stuff in your backpack, then you walk slowly, you recover slower, you can't fast travel to your friends and things like that. There were some areas that, and maybe this was our fault, we shouldn't have gone, because like we were fighting like this level 50 dragon that like when it screams, it creates explosions. And
oh crap, oh, damn.
And it's like,
so it was probably chaotic around
and
that
the most
then.
The highest level guy in our team was level 20, and so whatever, no matter what we did, like it did nothing. It was, we were basically shooting spitballs at the dragon, and and we were way underpowered and under leveled for it. But then there's other sections that of it where we were fighting like this hermit crab that instead of a shell, it had the back of a school bus on. Mm-hmm. And like it was just like you see everybody, all of us running around frantically looking and running for help and shooting at this thing. We finally got it, you got some rewards, from an exploration type style of game, it's standard fare for a Bethesda Fallout title. I mean, it's exactly what you would expect. Graphics, mm-hmm. from a graphics perspective, I mean, maybe if you compare it, I'd say it's closer to Fallout 4 and how that game looks. I
agree with that.
I've heard some people say, I mean, because it's using the same tech. It's not like they created a new engine for 76. It's basically the same engine that they've been using. Mm-hmm. I've heard some people say Fallout 3. Again, I think it might be the same engine that they use from Fallout 3, 4, and now Fallout 76. A lot of orange. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It's just very orange. It gives me the same feeling like the day when I first jumped into Gears of War and everything looked brown and gray. But other than that, like I said, if you're looking to play this game with friends, this game has the potential to have a lot of legs and be able to sustain long play times with friends for a long time to come. With mods, obviously, that's going to throw a whole new list of changes and fun opportunities, because with mods you can literally do anything. You know, I remember, was it Skyrim? The Fusro Das scream was changed to other things, like the was it Luke Wilson's whoa, things like that. But other than that, I had a good time. I may pick this up because I know my friends want to pick it up online, and if that's the case, then you know it's got my $60.
Yeah, you know what? I got the game, I think it was on Thursday. They sent me the code, and I started playing it actually yesterday because I had no time. And I'm going to try to play also today. And I'll probably watch your stream too, Pete. I want to check it out to compare like the PC version and Xbox version. So at first, I launched the game, and in my head, I was like, because, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people saying that the game feels kind of lonely when you're like out there exploring. And I didn't really felt that vibe at all, man. I do have a question, though, like how many people could fit in that one session?
So you can fit 24 people on a server, 4 people on your
server.
Team.
Okay.
So you can squad up with a group, and it's maximum 4 people, but there's a maximum of 24 players per server.
Yeah, and I'm loving the exploration. I'm liking the little quest that you will pop up here and there. I also had like an event because we were like close to the same area. I think one area was like by a church, and we all had to do like an event together. So I did a couple of things, and other people that were around that area also helped. And we all of us completed the event. That was like my first event experience. That was pretty cool. There was these dogs that was always after me at first. Pretty annoying dogs. I'm liking this a lot, man. Honestly, I really didn't care much before when the game was announced. I thought it was going to be a disaster. I didn't get no issues, no lag issues. Everything was running smooth, man. Now, I know a lot of people were having issues the first night, which I can understand. Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues was for the PC version. I don't know if it was like that for console, but the beta got deleted from your computer?
Yes. Yeah, there was a bug. There was a bug on the launcher that if you preloaded it, and it happened to me as well, because I preloaded it the night before. I think it was Tuesday night. I preloaded it, and when it went live, like an hour or two before it went live, it actually deleted the files and forced a re-download. Now,
yeah,
and maybe because the servers were getting hammered on Tuesday night, because I literally like started the download after I was done for the evening and getting ready to go to bed. And like it told me like it was an hour to finish downloading. But then next day, and I think it was like at 3 in the afternoon, literally an hour or two before the beta went live, it was gone and the install button was there again, or the download button. So I had to hit it again and it re-downloaded everything within 15 minutes. So I don't know if it just deleted a chunk of it or all of it. I know some people had to re-download it. I think Beaker from our Discord community had to re-download everything. But again, well, thank you Xfinity for giving me good internet. So maybe that was the reason why it didn't take as long. Bethesda realized what had happened and they opened up the bandwidth from their servers to allow it to download faster.
Yeah. And this, to me, this is a game that it feels like Well, I haven't played it with friends yet, but I think this is a game that it should be played with friends, man. Because, you know, the people that I met at my session, you know, I could easily invite them to my session. Like, we could probably party up and so on. But I didn't. I just wanted to have the experience of playing solo to see how the vibe is. And, you know, sometimes you could just ignore everybody else and just do your own thing. That's what I was doing, too. And I'm liking this a lot, man. The good thing about this beta is, Pete, right now you've been playing for a couple hours, right? Whatever you have with your character, that's going to save for the retail version. So that's cool. I know we had that conversation a couple months ago about that, if that was like a good idea or not. And I said from the beginning, that's a great idea for you to save your content from the beta and transfer it to the retail version. I think that's awesome, man. You know, so you don't have to restart all over again. I think this is perfect, man. Okay, that was the issues I had with a lot of betas in the past, is I hate doing everything from scratch all over again, even if I pass it from the beta version, you know?
In a game like Fallout 76 that predicates itself on being fully online and immersive, mm-hmm. Yes, I could totally understand why Bethesda made the decision to allow your progress in the beta to transfer more over to the retail from the retail space. And the reason for that is, if you're going to have a beta, and I don't think that this is going to be the only session of beta. Well, maybe. I mean, it launches in a couple of weeks. So that being said, I'm glad that they did that. There's other things in the game that, like, some for those that have spent a lot of time in this game, I know there's some people, I think maybe I've got six or seven hours, or some people that have about 14 or 15 hours into it so far, that they've played every single minute of it. For something like that, I think maybe the early protections of people that, you know, you can't get griefed if you're level 5 or below. That's when the actual PvP component of the worlds start to go live. I haven't really seen a lot of that. Maybe some of the people in my group were kind of itching to go that route and try to start beef early just to try it and see what happens.
I could tell you a story about that, what happened to me. So I started walking around, I went outside, and I think I had to go to like an area to craft, right? Craft like my armor and also weapons. So I'm there and I turned around, there was somebody who was there just pointing at me like he wasn't sure if he should like trust me or just attack me. So he was just there staring at me the whole time, waiting for my move. And I wave, I went like this, like hello. And I just walked away. Like, look, I'm not trying to create beef here, man. I'm just trying to do my quest. So I left and we kept it cool. So far I haven't had no like any issues with like other players just pop up and start shooting everything. So far has been a really cool experience, you know? So yeah, my little quick story.
It's been similar to actually when I jumped into my friend's match yesterday, or to my friend's team server yesterday.
Yeah.
I was trying to catch up to them, and then I started getting chased by some Mire Lurks, and like, it was just me. There's seven Mire Lurks chasing me. And then next thing I know, I see two people coming in. And I'm like, oh, here we go. It's over. Mm-hmm. I'm a level 9, I think, at that time or something. Or an 8. They were a level 7 and a 9. And I'm like, that's it. I'm dead meat. And they actually started shooting the Mire Lurks. And so I was like, okay, maybe they're not here for me. And so I started shooting the Mire Lurks, you know, from a distance with my rifle as well, helping them, because one guy was starting to get trapped, and then they were cool, and then everything was all right. And then that's when that whole sequence of me getting chased by these, I don't know, they look like bear, like orange bears that shoot fire out of their mouth. And mm-hmm. They started going into the hunt. They started getting chased by them. So after that, it just became a real, like, it wasn't as tense as that first moment when you see them and you're like, it kind of gave me that memory of going into the Dark Zone for the first time in the Division, where you have that uncertainty of what is this guy going to do? is he going to come after me? Is he going to shoot me, or is he, or is he cool? You know? And so there's that uneasy tension and anxiety going on between you and the other person. And then once you realize, okay, they're just here to grab XP and loot, then everything is okay. But you always keep your eye open, because you never know when that guy could just turn around and start griefing you. But other than that, again, mm-hmm. I've had a lot of fun with it, more so than I thought I would.
Same right? here.
And mm-hmm. as long yeah. as and I think because Fallout has the opportunity for mods and they embrace that option, I think this might be a great, you know, this might be a great secondary, tertiary game to jump in for a few hours with friends and kind of break up the monotony of playing a specific title, et cetera. You know, maybe, you know, some people are all Fortnite or all PUBG, or they're all for a specific. This is a great way to just break that trend and go elsewhere, do something, do some exploration, do some stuff, and then come back to whatever your primary might be. Again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as a fan of RPG, and you know, I played Fallout games in the past. This is good, man. I'm having a blast with this, man. I'm liking this. I'm liking this big time, man. So can't wait for the retail version to come out. I know people are gonna be saying, man, there's so many games out there, but look, man, you have a choice. You wanna go the battle royale route? You have that option. You know, if you want to play some RPG, especially online RPG, you have an option as well. So that's cool. Now, my question to you, Pete, before we go to the next topic, third person or first person for you for this game?
First person.
First person.
First person, okay, all the way. Agreed. There have been instances where I did hit the V button and swapped because I wanted to play from both perspectives to see which one gave me what the perspective that I wanted. Right now, I think first person is where it's at. You know, there may be certain circumstances where third person comes in, but again, it's preference. The fact that they give you the option to do whatever you want, you can pull up the Pip-Boy, you can have the manual version where you pull up your screen and you're switching stuff. You can have it where it's just the interface for the Pip-Boy up on your screen. They've given you so many options to do what you want. And I think that's what is important. It's not forcing the player to succumb to a specific way of gameplay, or, you know, you can only get first person view. You can only do third person view. You have to use the Pip-Boy with the manual pull up. No, they're giving you the options. And I think doing so makes, you know, it goes to show that Bethesda does care about its players and does care about its consumer base. They want you to have the experience that you create for yourself. And mm-hmm. I think that's a great, you know, a great job from Bethesda. And with as many games that are coming out, damn it, now I have to add Fallout 76 to the list.
Yeah, it's a lot of games, especially after this. The game that I'm waiting for is Smash, and I think Battlefield is also coming out around this time too, later this month. So damn, so much content, so much stuff. Very quick, Pete. I know you're a Diablo fan, and Blizzard announced that a new Diablo game is coming out. It's called Diablo Immortal. Now, this is a mobile game, and you know what? Companies, they have the right to create any games they want. If they want to go to the PC route, console or mobile, that's fine. So I was like, all right, cool, man. You know, I just started playing Diablo for the first time, actually, which I'm going to be talking about it with Mandy. You're going to listen to it later on in the show. So I was like, all right, cool, man. So they announced this. You know, I wasn't going crazy because, you know, I'm still new into this whole Diablo series. So the game was announced at BlizzCon 2018, and there was a lot of people mad thinking that they were going to announce Diablo 4, which there's been rumors that they've been working on this project for a while. And, you know, the time is going to come. It's going to happen in the future, you know. But I just don't get why gamers are so angry that they decided to create a game like this for mobile. Remember, there's people that don't have PC, don't have consoles. This will be their first opportunity for them to play Diablo for the first time on iOS and Android. So what are your thoughts about this? Because I just I just I find this like so tacky. People getting mad on Twitter, social media, or even one of the gamers during the Q&A at BlizzCon even said some stupid nonsense to the developers that are on stage too, man. So
yeah, I think the comment was, "Is this an early season troll move or April Fool's joke?"
Yeah, it's so tacky. It's so freaking tacky.
It's understandable. So Diablo, in and of itself, you know, as a title, you know, spans generations. People, it's a universe. I'd say it's probably one of those game universes that threatens. It sits there on the Mount Rushmore almost for a lot of people, right? As one of the greatest game IPs of all time. I spent hundreds of hours on Diablo 3. So I understand why some people would want that. It's extremely anticipated for a lot of people. The rumor leading into BlizzCon was that there was going to be somewhat of an announcement. Well, and they weren't wrong. There was going to be an announcement of a new Diablo. So everybody got into a heated frenzy thinking, here we go. It's Diablo 4. It's been
6 years, I believe.
Four, five, maybe five plus years since we've had a Diablo. Wait, I was still in my old house. So yeah. A good 4 to 5 years plus since Diablo 3 came out. And remember, I played Diablo 3 when it came to the console. I wasn't playing PC games at that time. So yeah, much longer. We're talking maybe 6 or 7 years since that.
Mm-hmm.
So the anticipation hit an all-time high when people were going into BlizzCon thinking, here we go. D4, baby, let's do it. And then, like you said, and maybe, you know, them dropping the bomb of we're going mobile, yes, it is a new experience. It's not what people were looking for, but they're changing it up. They're giving that opportunity for people on mobile who don't have, you know, that's a whole subset of gamers of, you know, that they're reaching out to, and it gives them time to maybe further develop on a D4. Maybe they drop this for BlizzCon 2019. Maybe they start hinting at E3 that, hey, a new Diablo is coming, but it expands the world, it expands the lore, and it gives people an opportunity to play the game that they... And this is a totally new area of Diablo that people haven't seen before. There's new lore, there's new heroes to check out, and from early reviews, it's actually pretty good. I haven't played it, but for people who've been reviewing it and stuff like that, they're saying it's actually pretty good, and there's no reason for the hate and the vitriol towards Blizzard for giving an experience of their IP to the mobile arena. It's unfair to the mobile space to ignore them when you have an opportunity to give them, you know, something from your IP. Now, yeah. Is there a part of me that might be a little butthurt because I didn't see a D4 announcement? Yes, but I'm hopeful and I'm pretty sure that Blizzard is working on a Diablo 4 and it will come in time. I'm glad it's not in 2018 because I don't have time to play Diablo 4. So I am glad. Yeah. Push it to 2019 so I can actually play it and enjoy it.
You know, I disagree. I just feel like gamers are just freaking crybabies, man, for any little stupid thing that they don't agree or whatever. You know, look, the developers, they have the right to make whatever game they want. Doesn't matter if it's mobile, console, PC, whatever. That's up to them. It's up to the publisher. That's their job, to create games for a whole audience out there, man. You know, so, and here's another thing too. A lot of people don't know this, but I read this also just a few hours ago. I read this on through social media. But when Diablo 3 was announced, Blizzard released some screenshots of that game. Gamers were complaining that it had too much color and there was a rainbow in the background. Like, it was like too much for them. Like, really? Come on. Diablo 3, Pete. Diablo 3, the game that you like to play, man. That you got hooked playing. People complain about that when their screenshots was released back like what, 4 or 5 years ago. It's ridiculous, man. Gamers are just freaking crybabies, man.
Let's just think about this.
You don't like something, don't buy it, move on. That's it. And wait until Diablo 4 gets announced in the future. You know, it just doesn't make no freaking sense, man. I don't know. But just gotta say that very quick.
Let's just put it this way, right? The first Diablo came out in 96, right? The second one came out in 2000. The third one came out in 2012. Okay. Yeah. So if you get Diablo 4 6 years after Diablo 3, it's about time, dude. So, yeah. I mean, it's understandable why fans of the Diablo series have been clamoring for a return, but give them time to work on this. It's not, this isn't a game that you just jump into immediately. This is a game that you jump in and spend time on, right? So let that give them time to work on it. Hell, we've been waiting for 7 years plus already for Cyberpunk. They still haven't given us a date.
Yeah.
Work on it.
Hey, man, look, it's like Bethesda, Pete. They announced Fallout, the mobile game, right? Well, Shelter, I think it's called.
Yep.
Fallout Shelter. So that was announced a couple years ago. Yeah, there was people pissed off that it wasn't a new Fallout game, I guess, maybe, or they just wanted to know more about Fallout 4 at that time, because I think it came out also later that year. It came out, Fallout 4, but still, yo, they still created a new Fallout. It still came out. The Shelter game was very successful. It came out also for the Nintendo Switch, you know. So hey, man, let the developers do their thing, man. It's not up to us to decide what the hell we want. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's up to them. It's part of the business, man. It's part of the business.
Take your time. Take your time. Give me the best Diablo experience you can make, and people will come. This yelling and screaming and crying about Diablo Immortal on mobile will disappear, will fade away into the sunset.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Let the people play Diablo on mobile. There's a space for it. There's people there for it. And don't be afraid to maybe try it out. Who knows? Maybe that'll be enough to satiate your need for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're the minority, dude. Honestly, look, I guarantee you, a lot of those people that have been complaining are going to be the first ones to actually download it. Mark my words. That's going to happen, man. That's going to happen. All right. So I'm going to play this audio here. I recorded this with Mandy. We review Diablo 3 for the Nintendo Switch. And once we come back, we are going to have one more thing. Fan mail. I'm going to ask her a question here, man. I think it's a pretty good question, too. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, episode 810. And I have a special guest. You know what? I love recording with this person right here, because every time we get together is for a special moment. You know, we're playing a pretty cool game on like a Nintendo Switch. So I always have to invite Mandy back to GTR. Mandy, what's going on?
What's up?
What's up? So for this episode, we're going to be talking about Diablo 3 for the Nintendo Switch. And Mandy, I have to be real with you. This is my first Diablo experience. I know you've been playing Diablo for years, right?
Oh man, I've been playing Diablo since the original. Always on PC too. So this is actually the first time I've played Diablo on a console.
Also, so it's the first for both of us then. Oh, cool. Awesome. Awesome. So I know Pete played Diablo for, I think he played for the PC. I'm not sure, but I know he was praising the Xbox One version when it came out. Was it last year or a couple years ago?
Last year.
Yo, he was talking about that game nonstop. And I was like, oh, okay, but I never gave it a chance, you know? So thanks to Blizzard, they sent us some codes, a couple codes here for us to try out for the Nintendo Switch. And Mandy, before we talk about our experience with this game for the Switch, how was your reaction when you heard that this game was coming for the Switch? You know, because you've been a longtime Diablo fan for the PC.
I mean, I wasn't surprised since they had finally gone to console with Diablo 3 to begin with. It was the first of the Diablo games to make it to any console. But I mean, it made sense. It was like, okay, the Switch is a place. And the other thing too is it is a little bit older, as has been the case with a lot of the Blizzard titles. They haven't released as many of their core franchises in the last couple of years. So I was like, oh, sweet. Like, and with a lot of the games, because I've put plenty of hours onto PC, I was like, oh no, am I going to be tempted because my Switch can travel with me?
You know, I've been playing this now straight for a couple of days. I think I'm level, level 30, 40 around there. I got to double check.
You should look at how many hours your Switch says you've played.
Yeah, I definitely can you do that from the game, or do I have to check out from my profile outside of the, like,
from your profile, outside of the game? I think.
Okay, I definitely got to check that for sure. So for those that don't know about the story, because I know your character that you play is a demon slayer, correct?
For the most part, essentially it's a like action RPG hack and slash type game. So if you've played like dungeon crawlers, the style will make sense, you know, top down view of your characters. And
yes,
you know, the whole context of these games is always that Diablo, who's the Lord of Hell, is, you know, trying to come back to the world and take over and everything. So you're playing as a character that's kind of ended up involved as the whole events take place. And a lot of the core themes in Diablo really tie into the fact that it's Diablo, the character, usually versus the creatures and people of the heavens. And as often happens in these types of games, the battle always seems to be happening on the mortal earth. So you're playing one of those characters. You get to meet Deckard Cain and Leah, and mm-hmm. you know, you're kind of inserted into the sequence of events as this war starts to heat up.
So for this, the Nintendo Switch version, there's a couple of exclusives there. This one you could play co-op. I think that's super important to do that, because, you know, you want to play, you know, with your family or friends at the house. You could do that. Or that's only for one single device, right? Or you could also get four different devices linked wirelessly. Like a LAN party you could do, and you could also try that. We haven't tried that out because, you know, we're in different cities, of course, mm-hmm. but I think that's pretty cool having that feature, because Xbox, they don't have that. PC version doesn't have that. So imagine us going to like an event, you know, we could play with friends or random people that we meet at an event, and we could just play right there on the spot, you know, wirelessly. I think that's pretty cool. Also, with this collection, it has all the content of previous games, everything into one. I know there are also a seasons. Can you explain a little bit about that, Mandy, yeah. about the seasons feature?
So basically, you have the base core game, which is what you would reasonably play co-op in. And then they have their seasons, which are essentially you create a season-specific character. So you start a new character, mm-hmm. you create them as a seasonal hero. You can pick a regular one who continues, or you can pick a hardcore hero, which basically means when you die, that hero is gone forever. You can't play them again. And you progress through the story, and as you accomplish things within the story and within challenges with that character, it allows you to rank within the season and get additional rewards.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Very, very cool. So I know you were trying to join my game last night.
And my internet sucks.
Besides that, but you were trying to join my game, but you had to create a new character to play the seasons, because that's the character that I created was from the seasons. Yeah. One.
So it's think of it a bit like some of the, you know, old games of like Call of Duty or Halo, where if you hadn't bought like the map pack, there were certain playlists you couldn't play on because you didn't have that content. So in this case, whoever's hosting the game, so when we were playing the other night, it was you. I needed to have content that matched what you did. And since you would create a seasonal hero, mm-hmm. I needed a seasonal hero to play in your game. So I had made a regular hero. So that was the mm-hmm. one I've been playing on. But it wasn't a big deal to make a seasonal hero. We just had a little bit of mishaps because I obviously was a level 1 and you were like a level 20 or 22. So to start with, I was a little underpowered, but I leveled up pretty quickly. I feel like I was contributing something, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. So the game also has adventure mode and challenge rifts. What was that about, man? Because I haven't really tried that out, the challenge rifts yet.
So I haven't played them on the Switch yet.
Okay. Because this one is already like unlocked. You don't have to complete the story to unlock.
Yeah. So basically, it's these are all there, and a challenge rift is something like the feature is already unlocked, but it typically mm-hmm. will create a kind of a section of something you've already played previously. So this could be, you know, a part of you play one weekly challenge, and then once you've played that challenge rift becomes available to you regularly. And it's just the idea that you take your character in there and get to play through and accomplish a series of things, whether it's, you know, mm-hmm. using, equipment. It's basically like this very similar to playing through story and adventure. And it's just that you're kind of playing through a level that everybody else is trying to accomplish at the same time.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about, like, you know, why is it that we like this game so far? For me, I've been already playing it out for a couple of days, and I've been playing by myself, just solo doing that. And, you know, here and there I've been trying to play some random games online because, you know, you were at work. So I was like, all right, let me just go to like an online session and see what happens. And so far I've been having a blast. I love the gameplay. I love that, you know, there's bosses, there's a lot of side quests you could do too. You could do the main quests also. And has been like no lag, no issues when it comes to that. So far has been really, really smooth. I know we played last night for like a couple hours, and we were having issues, and that wasn't because of the game. That was more of like your internet.
Yeah, it was my internet. But, like, I'd say I was actually surprised by how smoothly everything worked. When you invited me, mm-hmm. I'd get a pop-up on screen. So-and-so has invited you to their game, and I could easily accept or decline. Getting to your list of friends, whether it was people in your party, if you were partied up, or just friends you had that were online, was very easy. And I could just mm-hmm. click on your name and join into your game as well. So it actually was like the whole like flow and experience was way smoother than I expected. And it was really just my internet being difficult that gave us trouble.
So what is it that got your attention the most about this version, playing it?
So I think the one thing which you kind of mentioned already is that, you know, Diablo 3, the base game, came out in 2012. And so they've done a number of, expansions and additional content. They added seasons and things like that. So when you buy this, you're getting all of that. And not to say that the game originally was light, but there's a lot there. Like you said, there's additional areas. There's a lot of extra things to do. And so, I think that that's great. And then additionally, I was actually very surprised by how it looked. I guess I like expected it to be much worse than it was. So like the cutscenes, mm-hmm.
Cutscenes is great.
Yeah, the cutscenes are great. It's funny because also like I watched the cutscene. Now I tend to play, I'd say like 75% of the time I'm like moving around. So I'm playing in handheld mode. So I watched the first cutscene in handheld. And then I actually closed the app and then put it on the dock and then watched it on the TV to feel like, how different does it look? And like, yeah, you can see mm-hmm. it's not quite as smooth when you scale it up to a larger TV than the screen, but like it was still better than I was expecting. And like, yeah, the character models and things are maybe not quite as detailed as you would play on PC or maybe one of the other systems, but it still like looks good. Like it's working.
Yeah, I think the level designs looks great. I think because what I did, I went online and searched for, you know, the Xbox One version, PC version to compare to the Switch version. So I noticed that the characters graphic-wise, maybe it's like a little downgrade. Not quite as
detailed is really what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to like those versions, but the level overall, I didn't notice any changes with that at all.
I mean, like the level design, so, again, like there's like a little bit of difference in just like how much might be on the screen, but not by a lot, like not anything noticeable unless you're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, like, I just love the idea that Diablo can travel with you. I've put plenty of hours into PC. I like the idea that people can play it on Switch, like you said, couch co-op, being mm-hmm. able to like co-op through the Wi-Fi with different devices. It like really leans into everything that allows you to like take the Switch with you. And I'm actually like quite excited for chances like this to like play with people who've never played.
So I personally, I highly recommend for any Nintendo Switch owners to get this. It's a lot of content. The game is a lot of fun. Also could be challenging. You know, there's different difficulties. You could make it a lot harder. And I think it is it's so much fun when you find like the right people joining your team. You could do 4-player co-op locally or online. The only thing that I wish it had like voice chat in there in the game, but you know, you could use like an app like Discord and try it out. I personally highly recommend it for those that have a Nintendo Switch. So what about you?
Agreed. I'm pretty much of the same opinion. Like if you enjoy, you know, these types of games, hack and slack, action RPGs, if you've never played Diablo and you have a Switch, I mean, it's definitely worth it. I think there's a lot of content. I'll be upfront that like you play through the story and the kind of structure of these is like, oh, you play through, you get a base of equipment from playing the first round, and then you can play the next difficulty up. And it's like, okay, that's harder, but it gets you better equipment, which helps you work your way up to like nightmare level. But yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's fun to play. Like you said, I kind of wish there was voice chat, but you know, we made it work with Discord. And it's, if you've never played a Diablo, or if you're looking for something that's, you know, can be a fully fledged game on the Switch, this is definitely worth it.
Definitely, definitely. All right, Mandy, I just want to say thanks. Hopefully we could play again. And also Arena Valor, we got to try that game out too. Again.
Again.
So anything else, Mandy, before we wrap it up?
Nope. I mean, well done to the team that managed like shuffling it over to the Switch, because I feel like it works really well for the console in terms of how like they map the controls and going through the menus. Like I was surprised because I'm used to everything on, you know, PC where you have all your keyboard shortcuts and you just click on things. So well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. So by the way, we never mentioned what class we have. I have the barbarian. What class do you have?
So the seasonal hero I made to play in your game, I have the demon hunter, but in the like non-seasonal, I made a wizard.
A wizard. Now, which one you prefer out of the two?
Ooh, that's hard. So there's a soft spot in my heart for the Demon Hunter because the character's stylistically similar to Diablo 2's expansion, Lord of Destruction, that introduced the assassin class. But I think I like, in terms of playing, I think I like the wizard better.
Awesome.
Also, I have a chicken following me, man, in our game.
Yes, I have a... What was that, like a troll? What is
it's
it?
It's like a weird little like, demon creature is what it looks like.
Yeah.
There was some content, hey, like you get some cosmetics and stuff from with this version, including some things that are specific to the Switch, which is like you can get like an armor set for Ganondorf, and one of the things...
I know there's an amiibo too.
Yeah,
for this,
there's an amiibo. Yeah, but so one of the things is you can have like pets that follow you around, and I have a chicken. It was great because at one point we're playing and he's like, is that a chicken following us?
Yeah, I'm like, why is that chicken is after you? What is this? I didn't know.
I was like, it's my pet. Time. He's coming with us.
you know what, Mandy, like, you know, a person that has always been a fan of online RPGs, like Phantasy Star Online, you know, games like that, that you play with three other people, you and plus three. I find this game a lot of fun. I really enjoy this. You know, this is my first Diablo experience. I know a lot of people could be like, oh, really, Danny, this is your first time playing it? But, you know, I had a blast. I think this is really cool. I'm happy that this is also available for the Nintendo Switch. You know, Mandy never played this game on a console, and she's also been having a blast. So it's cool. I personally think that anybody has a Nintendo Switch and never played this game before, and you've been kind of curious, try it out, check it out, and hit me up. Maybe we could play online together, and That's a lot of fun.
You'll see us both online.
Yeah. Thanks, Mandy, for recording this review with me.
For sure. It was fun. I'm like super excited to be playing Diablo on something that I can take with me more easily than a computer.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Thanks, Mandy.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that's the review, Diablo 3 for Nintendo Switch with Mandy. Shout out to her, man. You know, every time there's like a Nintendo Switch game that comes out, I try my best to get like extra codes and sit down with Mandy because we're so passionate about the console, Nintendo Switch. So it was good. Like the conversation, man. Really cool, man. All right, peace. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, peace. So we have one voicemail. Actually, everyone that's listening to this or watching this on Twitch, continue to send us questions, voicemail. You could call us or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You can leave a message through there using your computer, your mobile device, super easy, or just send us an email or leave a message also on Discord, man. So it's discord.gg/GTR. All right, so Pete, let's play the voicemail for this episode.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's Leo from Las Vegas. I checked out the last podcast, and I was listening to you guys. Danny and Paris went ahead and went back and forth about how awesome Red Dead 2 is. And don't get me wrong, I've been playing it almost nonstop myself, and I do think it's awesome. I personally think that is a product of the lengthy time that it had in development, or what we believe was the lengthy time in development that got it both the commercial and critical success that it's seeing right now. So short and simple, do you guys think that there is a correlation to development time equaling a great game? And if so, when does a developer call it quits? When do they go ahead and say, hey, you know what, this game's been in development too long? I'm looking at the Kojima game coming out, and other such products, you know. Does that have a correlation? Do you guys feel that there is actually a length of time acceptable and non-acceptable as far as developers are concerned? Just looking for some opinions. You know, let us know what you guys think, and I hope you have a great one. Keep up the great work, guys.
You know what? Take your time. Like I just said about Diablo leading into the fan mail question, they took 12 years to go from Diablo 2 to Diablo 3, right? You've got 2012 to whenever potentially Diablo 4 comes out, you know, since Diablo 3 came out. We've been waiting for 8 years now on Cyberpunk. We, you know, look at the time it took for Red Dead Redemption to come out from 1 to 2. We've seen the accolades that game has gotten. Take your time. We have always stated as a group, and yes, I know Paris is probably listening. He's going to say, don't talk for me, but how many times have any of us, whether it's the three of us, whether we've had previous cast members on the show and stuff, never have you ever heard any of us complain that a game is being delayed or it's being pushed back or development's being held back because they want to work on things? That is, you know, that is something that developers always are working hard to do, is they want to give you the best experience they can. Sometimes developers are hamstrung by upper management, etc., to deliver a game maybe earlier, or maybe there's a commitment to drop a game specifically on that date and they can't push it back. But you can't tell me that there's a developer out there that likes to put out crappy games. I can't imagine that somebody wants to put out, you know, someone, a quality developer or a quality publishing house wants to give you the best experience that they can. There may be stakeholders or stockholders that are pushing or force the agenda and force it to come out early. But from a developer, from an individual developer sitting at his desk with all of his tools on his computer, working on his or her computer, working to create a game, they all bust their humps to put out the best quality product. Even games like Islands of Nine, which I've been trashing personally, You know, they all work hard. Like I follow the stream on one of the developers on that title, and he busts his hump, he busts his butt to try to make things better in that game, right? So take your time, wait 7 or 8 years, and if you have a publishing house that is supportive of that, a la Blizzard with Diablo, a la CD Projekt Red with a title like The Witcher or a title like Cyberpunk, take your time. Give me the absolute best product you can, and make me appreciate and enjoy that much more.
See, that's the thing, that it's important for companies, for developers, to, when they create a game, make sure that it's a game that is so ahead of its time, with like the features and the stuff that you could do in the game that no other company is doing. Because if you're taking your time with it, then you don't have to worry about, oh, this is like already too old, and, you know, are we going to still release this? Because there is already so many games with the same feature, same gameplay. What's the point of us releasing a game like this, you know? There was one game that the developers took a very long time. Then they canceled it, and then they worked on it when they decided to bring it back. And they continue the development of that game and release it. And a lot of gamers were not happy. They found it like it was trash. Duke Nukem. Remember that, Pete? That came out for the 360, also PlayStation 3?
Yep.
That game was in development for years. So when a lot of the gamers got the game and started playing it, it wasn't great. It felt like a game from back in the days with just beautiful graphics right now. So a lot of people didn't really like it, man. It was too boring. So yeah, I do agree that developers should take their time with it, but also make sure to create something that is totally new that nobody else is doing. But imagine if it's a company that is working on a game and they want to copy, let's say, Fortnite, or copy PUBG or Blackout, and it's Battle Royale, and they release the game 10, 12 years from now. Is that even worth it? Is it going to be still the hot thing around that time? So that's why it's good for companies to create something that's totally unique and the future. That's why a lot of companies don't like to leak stuff, man, to the public, because their competition will find out. Then there were also the competition will copy, you know, with the same thing that they're doing for their game, you know, so. That was a great question, though, man.
No, I liked it. And I'm going to break the fourth wall here. Somebody on the Twitch stream sideways said, for most games, COD will never get delayed. And so Call of Duty is kind of like the unicorn in that scenario, because Activision has three development houses between Sledgehammer, Infinity Ward, and Treyarch, all working on different iterations of it. So technically, each Call of Duty release, while it does get launched every year, has a 2 to 3 year development cycle attached to it, because they go in rotation, right? So the Call of Duty that we just got, you know, with Black Ops, you won't get another iteration of that for another 3 years from Treyarch, because the next following one will be Infinity Ward, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even if Infinity Ward gets dropped from the table, You get a 2 year development cycle, which for a game like that isn't all that bad. We're not sitting here talking about 90 hours of content that's non-repeatable. You're talking about a game that may or may not have a single player game, but is mostly just multiplayer competitive shooting, you know, 5-on-5, 6-on-6, or a BR. You don't really need to have a 6 year development cycle for something like that. Whereas the only time you're going to see that are games like The Witcher, games like Cyberpunk, games like Red Dead Redemption, which doesn't really need, you know, a multiplayer aspect for it. You want to talk games like Madden, or basketball. Yeah, but those are more roster changes and lineup changes and things that you can't bring back to other games that are older. So
yeah,
I mean, thank you for the question sideways. Appreciate it. In the chat, you know, again, if you have feedback, throw it on the Discord, or put, you know, send it to us via email.
fanmail@gamertagradio.com. All right, here's another email, P. I'm going to read this very quick here. What's up, GTR? I'm David from LA. I'm fairly new to the podcast, and I love it. I listen to multiple episodes during work. My question is regarding Battlefield 5 and their Battle Royale mode. I haven't heard anyone mention that Battlefield has a spotting feature in their multiplayer. I think bringing that feature into Battle Royale can be a game changer. Do you guys think they will include that? Do you think that it will make a big difference? Hope I make the show. Thanks in advance. I'll be looking forward to the next episode. David, thanks for the email here. Actually, Paris is in Stockholm for a Battlefield event. He's probably going to talk about it in the future and stuff. But I know in other interviews, and this was announced like I think it was like a couple weeks ago, DICE mentioned that the Battle Royale is not coming out for launch, but it is in the future, sometime spring of 2019. I think that was Game Informer or Polygon. It was one of those media outlets that there was an interview and they said that. So I don't know how I feel about that, Pete, for them to release this feature later on. I know Fortnite, it was kind of the same situation because when you got to play that game for the first time, it was just strictly the campaign story. There was no Battle Royale feature in the game, but it got released later on and it became a hit for Fortnite. So do you think that will help the game once it releases next year, Pete?
I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. Allegedly, the Battle Royale mode was what Battlefield 5 may have been built around, and I don't recall if that's a rumor, if that was just something, or if that's true.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think with Paris being in Stockholm at DICE for Battlefield 5, we probably should have held this, but...
Yeah.
I know that, you know, this did get delayed till about March or April, like you said, in 2019. Mm-hmm. It's already been delayed once, something that we never saw a Battlefield title get, especially in this day and age of AAA IPs. You know, them pushing it out from mid-October to November 20th, yes, it gives them a month of additional development lead time. And I think them not launching BR at launch may hurt them because people are really, really looking forward to them. And I don't know if this is a ploy from DICE or EA to try to extend Battlefield and give it longer legs. Because traditionally, a lot of people will play Battlefield and just play their modes and play their modes, and then it starts to fall off. I'm curious also to see how they handle premium servers and stuff like that, since they said they're no longer doing that. It's going to be free now. How is that going to affect it? Are people still going to have that opportunity? You know, because people want that. People want to have custom servers. How is that going to work out? And now, obviously, with all of the fallout from – nice little pun there, how we transitioned from fallout to this. Now the fallout of all the microtransactions, where does that play in with cosmetics and other things for Battlefield? We'll be curious to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, but before we wrap it up here, Pete, later this week, man, XO18 is officially going to happen in Mexico, live in Mexico. Microsoft is planning to have a lot of big announcements. You know, they have in the past with previous XO events. I'm excited for it, man. Super excited. Hopefully we get to hear some big announcements when it comes to like first party games and maybe a couple of third party. Any predictions? Do you see anything that might get announced later this week during the event in Mexico? Because Microsoft has been promoting this like crazy online. So
I don't know. I want to see a new IP. I want to see if some of these new studios that they've been picking up have worked on anything or if they have anything in development. Obviously, yeah. I think the big elephant in the room is Halo. Everybody wants to see what's going on with Master Chief and Cortana and that whole thing, right? Somebody, they want to, just show me the energy. Just flash the energy sword and that's it. Be done. I don't care. So just give me something. Let me know that it's officially coming. Whether it's going to be a Project Scarlet title or one of their streaming titles, even better. I think if we're going into rumor mill ground here, I think, you know, obviously Crackdown 3, they're going to actually give us something.
Well, it's going to be playable there. That I read that straight from
it was playable last year, right?
Yeah, but suppose this one's going to be playable for everyone. Now, I hope that they show some gameplay footage of Battletoads that's coming out next year. Show us games that is coming out next year. You know, spring. Show some trailers of new announcements of games that's coming out maybe sometime next year. Holiday of next year, right? Teasers. Show teasers of games that's coming out in the future. You don't have to say that this is going to be for Xbox One or for the next-gen console. Just announce the game and just leave it like as that. Just a teaser that's coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, what's important is that communication with the consumers. You know, don't show a game and then stay quiet for years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's important to show something and keep on with the communication. You know, don't announce anything else until maybe, you know, E3. Now, when it comes to like third party, I would love to see Ubisoft finally announce Splinter Cell. I think that's going to happen eventually. If it's not for this one, maybe for E3. But in the past, that game has been announced through previous XO events. So that's possible. Is it possible that we might get to see some old franchises to come back, like Perfect Dark, Pete? Will you be excited for that too? Because I know you mentioned new IPs, but
right. What
about the old franchise?
I think we're going to see a hell of a lot more hardware, first of all. I think we're going to probably see some more State of Decay 2 stuff.
Okay.
Will of the Wisps, Ori.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all those games have been announced, though. Like, I'm talking about, like, new announcements.
I think Fable 4.
Yeah. Ooh. Fable 4. You know what? Fable has been announced in previous XO events.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect Dark, Fable, and Splinter Cell are the games that have been announced in the past. For those that don't know much of the history about XO, because XO was, like, XO to me and for a lot of people, that's like how it is now with PlayStation Experience. You know, Sony announced, they show like a lot of indie games. They have like a couple first party announcements there. But XO was that back in the days for Xbox. And then they stopped it for a very long time and they're bringing it back. Now, this is a great opportunity for Microsoft because there is no PlayStation Experience this year. And I know that Video Game Awards is also going to be happening in December. I think they should also maybe save something for that, maybe, you know, or something from that they announced during XO and then show a little bit more at the Video Game Awards. I think that would be cool. So, yeah, man. Anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
No. Well, I think they had announced keyboard and mouse support. So we'll see that keyboard and mouse support for the Xbox stuff. Yeah. Age of Empires.
I know there's no Gears. They're not showing Gears is not going to be at XO at all.
No pop, no tactics, and nothing for 5 or 6 or whatever.
No. I just read no Gears. So I don't know if this is like the new Gears or what. And you know what? That's fine, man. I mean, save a game like that maybe for E3. XO should be for like have maybe like one big thing, one or two. But save for that, like the indie games, first party games, like Perfect Dark, you know, old franchises, you know, stuff like that. So I know you mentioned Fable. What are the chances of them showing that game over there?
I don't know, but I think there's going to be an. I don't think they're going to show, but I think they'll do an announce with the initial.
That's it.
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm even. I don't have the shirt, but there might be Battletoads gameplay.
Oh, I think so too. Now, I know that every Fable game was announced at XO. So you know what, Pete? You might be right. They might announce a new Fable game there, man. Never know. That would be cool. All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure to stream it, download it. Doesn't matter what type of app you have, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, also Radio Public, my new app, which every time you stream it, we also get some revenue there, man. And you could also donate. If you're listening to the podcast, donate through there too, or donate through Twitch. That will help us out big time, man. And Pete, I know that I know you mentioned this on the last episode, but shout out to every listener that donated on Twitch for Pete. Because, you know, he went to TwitchCon and it was because of the listeners. So that was pretty cool, man. So shout out to everybody, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
You want to give any shout outs to those that donated for this episode? You want to give them a quick shout out? I think we should do that. I know we always announce it on the stream, but for those that donate, we should also give them a shout out here on the podcast, man.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Change this information. Oh. Okay, so, and I got to meet this guy, Sweeten 135, donated $50. You know, shout out to him for hooking it up. I mean, that was huge. Chubby Wubby dropped $20 for this.
Yeah.
Kiana V donated $5. Beaker dropped $100. That's insane. Blazino with the $10. Cuddle Pudgeons with the $100 donation as well. Nice, one of our mods, Cypher, thank you, Tanya. She had dropped $25. Real Spartan dropped $5. Ed Great dropped $10. Cataristas, the legend, $150. He's actually like the king of donations at $500 overall on the Twitch stream.
Wow. So, thank you so much, man. That's awesome. I know we've been getting a lot of subs too for this episode. So that's cool, man.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to everybody. You know, obviously gifted subs are also a thing. So if you want to, if you've got the opportunity to do it, or if you've got Twitch, you know, if you've got Amazon Twitch Prime, you can drop in and do that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you to everybody. I mean, it's been insane over the past year plus. And I think it's 18 months now. The subscriptions, the follows, the views, and everything else. It's just, it's the support from the community. It has been just amazing. And every time I see those donations, I damn near get Charmin soft and start tearing up almost. And so I got to walk away or just hide my face. Cause it's insane that y'all, you know, show the love and appreciation for us just as much.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to help us out, you know, in the future when we travel all the time, you know, food, and so on. All that is because of you guys, man. So thanks a lot, man. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.